This morning, God's Word comes to us from the Epistle of John, 1 John. 1 John, we're going to begin reading at chapter 2, verse 28, and then read through chapter 3, verse 10. Our attention this morning, focusing on the first three verses of chapter 3. First John 2, beginning at verse 28. What we hear now is God's Word. And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we began last week to focus our attention on the incarnation of the second person of the Trinity. We are focusing on Christology and Jesus Christ and why He came. Why did God choose to send His Son into the world? What was His mission? What was His purpose? And in 1 John, in this text we read last week and again this week and shall read again next week, we see four reasons why the Son of God appeared. And we have connected these four sermons with our recognition of Advent and that time of year when our minds turn toward the incarnation and toward the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. We talked last week about the fact that He came as the righteous one. The one who truly was righteous, truly was perfect in all that He did in order that He might accomplish righteousness on our behalf. The blessing of having Jesus Christ come as the righteous one is that His righteousness is credited to our account. This morning, we look at another reason Jesus came, another reason for the incarnation. He came as the Son of God. And this, too, is a blessing for us. This, too, is something which overflows toward our benefit, as we'll see as we look at this text today, 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Now, when I say that Jesus Christ came as the Son of God, that seems rather self-evident to us. Well, of course He was God's Son. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, came in time and He was the Son of God. It is evident to all of us here. But it was not evident that time the incarnation actually happened. the Son was not known when He came. John says, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. He was not recognized as the Son of God. Maybe make a note in your margin to look back later today at the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, where we read in verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. They did not recognize Him as the Son of God. It was certainly not obvious to the first participants of Christmas that Jesus Christ was God's Son. Not obvious to Caesar Augustus. Remember Caesar's children in Luke chapter 2? Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And because of that census taken by Caesar, then Mary and Joseph go to the town where Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. But Caesar had no idea that his declaration of a census was being used by God to have the Son of God brought into the world where God intended. Caesar was too busy to be bothered with the thought of his work actually being part of God's plan. He was too busy with his own empire. That's why he's numbering people. That's why he's calling for the census. Too busy with his own agenda to think about the fact that the Son of God was coming into the world. Think about Mary and Joseph hearing the news that there was no room for them in the inn. Do you think, children, if that innkeeper had known that Mary was carrying the Son of God, he might have found room for them in the inn? It was certainly not obvious. It was certainly not obvious at the time of the incarnation that the Son of God was coming into the world. And even those who might have had some hint of that, some did not want to hear it. We think of Herod. When he is told that a king is being born, Herod not knowing it's the Son of God, but certainly a king being born, Herod's response is to try to wipe out that king. Herod's response is to kill all the baby boys 2 years and younger. He wants something to do with this son being born. Herod would reject, even knowing of the Son of God, would reject that child and try to kill him. No, the Son was not known in that incarnation. The Son was not known in that first advent when He came and appeared among His people. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. Today, we still have all the trappings of Christmas being put up around us. We drive through town and see the ornaments on the light posts, and perhaps in your homes there are decorations going up, and all the trappings are there, all the reminders that something significant happened, but what is it we truly celebrate? Do we recognize that what we celebrate in recognizing Jesus' birth is the Son of God came to the world? Is that the focus of our attention? Or are we too busy to think about that significant event? God sent His Son into the world. Are we, like Caesar, too busy with our own agendas, building our own empire, doing our own thing? Or do we reflect upon the fact that God sent His Son into the world? Perhaps we, like Herod, have some glimmer of that truth and yet want to suppress it. Because Because if we would recognize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, He then deserves our allegiance. He then deserves our obedience. And perhaps our own pride, our own will, our own desire wants to do our own thing. And we do not recognize Him as Son of God coming in the flesh. Perhaps we, like Herod, would suppress the truth, would do everything we can to keep that truth from being known and being recognized, even in our own lives. Jesus Christ came as the Son of God. Now the world may not recognize that, but certainly we should recognize that. Certainly we should recognize He came as the child of God, because since He was a child of God, we also are God's children. Verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. He came as the Son of God that we might be children. Children of God, and so we are. That is not just a nice phrase that we use to describe our relationship. We really are sons and daughters of God. We call ourselves that because that is what we are. Now, you can call yourselves a lot of things. You can choose to call yourself almost anything. When I was in seminary, I remember going in the student lounge at one point, and in the back of one of the magazines lying there, there was an ad in the back that said, send in $40 and we'll give you a seminary degree and you may call yourself reverend. Now, when you're in seminary, well, that looks pretty good. Best $40 I ever spent. Send in $40 and you can call yourself a reverend. You can call yourself whatever you want. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and as such, we are called children of God because we really are children of God. Now, children, I could call you my children. I could say, Michaela, you're my daughter. I could say that, but we really know it wouldn't be true. When God, through Jesus Christ, calls us children, it is because we really are children of God. And as children of God, we are amazed at that title. Oh, it makes sense to us that the second person of the Trinity, that the eternal Son, would come incarnate, and God would call Him, who was and is and remains a truly eternal God, would call Him His Son. But the amazing thing is, God uses the same for us. We who are creatures, we who are sinful, we who are fallen. And yet God calls us His children because we are children through His Son, Jesus Christ. How great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The Son was not known in that first advent. The Son is perhaps even today not known in the world. But He should be known in our lives. He should be known in our actions because we are called and we are children of God. In that first advent, the Son needed to be revealed. God made that revelation to those He chose. We think of the story of the angel coming to speak to the shepherds. And God sent that message through the voice of an angel to reveal the coming of the Son of God. We think of the revelation given to the wise men, to those who came from the east. That revelation given through a star. They saw a star and they knew that this was a significant event, and yet to truly understand the revelation, they had to go and to speak to the scribes and say, where is the king who is to be born? And they would go back to the scriptures to reveal the truth of who Jesus was and where he would be born. There needed to be not only a general revelation, noticing something different is going on, but there was the required special revelation, going back to the Word, to be instructed in where the Christ child was to be born. There needed to be the Word opened. And so again today, as I said, all the trappings of the season around us. A general reminder that something different is going on. A general reminder this is a different time of year. And yet to truly appreciate what is going on in the incarnation, to truly appreciate what God did at that first advent, we need not simply the trappings around us, but we need to return once again to God's Word. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason the world does not us, not know us is because it does not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the one who came as God's Son. That's why we spend time reflecting on what he did. That's why we spend time reflecting on why He came. Because, as our text says, as children of God, what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Again, the connection between the first advent and the second advent, between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. The first coming of Christ and recognizing who He is through the Word prepares us for the second coming of Christ, when He comes again to judge the living and the dead. What we will be has not yet appeared, that's coming yet, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. We will see Him to be that one who truly is the righteous one, the one whose righteousness is given to us, the one who truly is the Son of God, through whom we are adopted as sons and as daughters. We will know then, it will be full and complete. We will see Him. We will know Him. We will be like Him. And it is that truth which is often the greatest fear of the unbeliever. The greatest fear that perhaps all of this Christmas stuff and incarnation talk, perhaps it is true. Perhaps it's more than just about the trappings and the decorations and about snowflakes and about candy canes. Maybe Christmas is more than that. Maybe this child who was born really was the Son of God. And that is the unbeliever's greatest fear. That maybe it's all true. Maybe the Word revealed really does show a righteous Son of God coming into the world. While it is a fear for the unbeliever, for the child of God, it is our greatest joy to know that God sent His own Son into the world. To know that He revealed Himself in flesh. And that when He comes again, we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. There is, as our text said last week, no need for fear, no need for shame, no need to shrink away from Him. But we may have confidence at His coming. Confidence, because that Son of God, that righteous one, is our brother because of what God has done. Our brother, because God has made us His children. This truth this glory should motivate us to help to reveal the Son, to help to spread that truth about this time of year, to declare Jesus Christ came not simply as a baby in a manger, but as the Son of God, sent to redeem His people who would not know Him then, but now through the Word revealed and God's Spirit enlivened, come to embrace Him. And those who are called children of God, because they are, now must reflect the image of that Son. Verse 3 says, "And everyone who thus hopes," hopes in that second coming, hopes in knowing to see Him and know Him, "everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as he is pure." Everyone who has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. We have hope, we have confidence, we have no fear for the future, and we're called to purify ourselves. Now, we must not rip this verse out of context and say that somehow here God is saying that if we do enough things, we can make ourselves pure in His sight and thereby become children of God. No, notice the order. We are children of God. That is what we are. Therefore, we are called to purify ourselves. And this text should not be taken to mean that somehow if we do enough, if we offer enough, God will be pleased with us. No, it is only because of Christ that He is pleased with us. And therefore, we have hope. And therefore, we are called to purify ourselves as He is pure. We talked about His righteousness last week. We are to purify ourselves. We are to live like children of God. Since we are children of God, we should look like it. We should look like our Father in heaven. If we look at human relationships, a child often looks like their father. We can see a family resemblance. That is true. We can look around this church and see family resemblance. Oh, you know, you must be so-and-so's son. You must be so-and-so's daughter. I can see your parents in you. How much more for those who are children of God? Now, to be sure, we are not natural children. We are adopted children. So what does the image look like? Not a physical connection, but an ethical, spiritual, moral connection. Just as our children not only look like us physically, our children begin to look like us spiritually. They will take on our decision-making process. They will take on our particular way of looking at things. They will take on either our love for the Word of God or our lack of care for the Word of God. We must look like our parents. You are a child of God. You are called to look like your Father in heaven, to reflect the family resemblance, the call to purity, the call to seeking out what will be best for God's glory. You know, so often I think that when we begin to actually reflect upon our sin, when we consider choices we have to make, right or wrong, often we ask ourselves the wrong question. If we're considering making a choice, and perhaps we know it's not the best choice, perhaps it's a choice that leads us into sin, the question we often ask is, if I do this, would God really send me to hell? Is it that big of a deal? If I do this particular action, this particular choice, would it be so terrible that God would condemn me and throw me out? That's the wrong question. We have been freed from fear. We have been freed from condemnation. We can approach Him unashamed. The question we have to ask is, not will this send me to hell? Will this purify me like my Father? That's the question. When we consider the choices in our lives, the actions we have to take, will this make me look more like my Father in heaven? Or less like my Father in heaven? We are called to purify ourselves just as He is pure. He is the standard, not avoiding hell, but bringing glory and honor and praise and reflecting God's purity and reflecting God's holiness. Be ye holy because I am holy, God says. Oh, we know we'll do it imperfectly. We know the reflection will only be a reflection, but our intent must be to purify ourselves from all unrighteousness. That's the call to the child of God. That's the call to one who knows Jesus Christ, God's Son, and through Him knows the Father, our Father, my Father. That's the blessing of belonging to Him and being His child. We must pray. We must seek out. We must be diligent in pursuing purity, looking to Jesus Christ, that perfect Son of God. And we say, well, of course He was perfect. He was God's Son. And so are you. God's Son. God's daughter. Through Jesus Christ. The blessing of knowing the truth of the Incarnation. Oh, He was the righteous one. And in Him we are credited with righteousness. But He was also God's Son. The one who came as that pure, perfect Son of God, not recognized by those around Him, but recognized through those who embrace Him because of the Word and the Spirit, and those who are now called to purify themselves, to make decisions which bring glory to Him, because He is pure, because He is your Father. People of God, look like your Father in heaven. Reflect His image. Reflect His purity. Reflect His holiness. May that be our challenge this Christmas season. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we see Jesus Christ in Scripture in all of His glory, in all of His majesty, in all of His perfection. He is your Son. And of that we are in awe. That You would send Your Son to earth for such as us. But beyond sending Him to earth for us, through Him, we fallen, weak, sinful creatures are made Your children as well. What a blessing to us. What a glory. May we leave today reflecting on that great gift and on that challenge to live as children of God, seeking You, seeking to bring honor and glory to You, seeking to purify ourselves just as You are pure. Oh, strengthen us, Lord God, by Your Spirit, that we might follow after You. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.